place in our own little corner. This old cold world just got a little warmer. For the rest of my life, I'm gonna hold you in my arms. And when they carve my stone, all they need to ride on it is once lived a man who got all he had.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The police response to the Uvalde school shooting was a cascade of critical failures. Those are the findings of the Justice Department's report from the 2022 massacre. 19 children and two teachers were killed while law enforcement waited to engage the shooter for more than an hour. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
It is now widely understood by law enforcement agencies across the country that an active shooter incident, time is not on the side of law enforcement. Every second counts.
Victims' families pushing for more accountability, including criminal charges. President Biden, on his way to North Carolina for an event, was asked by reporters about U.S. airstrikes against Iranian-backed Houthi militants in Yemen for targeting ships in the Red Sea.
Are they stopping the Houthis? No. Are they going to continue? Yes.
Buffalo trying to dig out from lake effect snow and a winter mix in store for parts of the Midwest and Northeast. This is ABC News. A new Supreme Court case is testing the power of the federal government to impose regulations. That case being brought by New Jersey fishermen challenging government regulation. ABC's Terry Moran explains.
This is a major case with potentially huge impacts in so many areas. And the question is, when Congress writes a law that is ambiguous, who gets to decide what it means? Who gets to fill in the blanks? Regulatory agencies or judges? And the case before the court is about fishing boats. Under federal law, most commercial fishing boats are required to have federal monitors on board to make sure that the seas are not overfished. But the law that Congress wrote did not specify who should pay for those monitors.
A new development after last week's on-air TV station attack by gang members in Ecuador. The prosecutor looking into the attack has been assassinated. He was killed while driving. The prosecutor had been also investigating criminal gangs linked to drug-related violence. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the January winter sale, January 12th through the 22nd, and get 30% off paints and stains with prices starting at $31.14. That means 30% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 30% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Elected Milwaukee city officials are a step away from a raise in pay. By a 9-6 vote Wednesday, the Milwaukee Common Council approved giving themselves, the mayor, and other elected city leaders a 15% pay raise. That's starting with their next term in April. Those entities haven't had a raise in pay since 2008. The vote was taken just 17 days after Milwaukee started the state's first city sales tax. One of the alders who voted against the pay raises, Bob Bowman, told Fox 6 Milwaukee it was the size of the raise that he objected to.
I think it was too much at once. Had that increase been spread out, had it been a couple of percent in the first year, a few percent after that, I think it would have been more palatable.
Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson still needs to sign off on the pay raises. An attempted kidnapping in Waukesha County Monday afternoon. The sheriff's office there says a 40-year-old woman was leaving the beer depot in Pewaukee when a 37-year-old Waukesha man approached her and picked her up off the ground. The woman got away from the man and ran back into the store. She wasn't injured. The man who left the scene in a vehicle was later located at his residence and taken into custody. Charges against the man are under review. Self-harm can be a concern for kids returning to school.
As students begin the spring semester, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services encourages parents and caregivers to be aware of data that shows young people experience large increases in self-harm injuries at certain times of the year, including when school resumes after the winter holidays. Self-harm refers to intentional actions to hurt oneself. Examples include cutting, hitting, poisoning, or burning. It may be done to express or lessen emotional pain. Find more information on the DHS website. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing. High temperatures climb to the teens, and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight. And we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. 8 degrees at our studio.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Live from January's exposed midriff, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Frank Lucas, U.S. Representative from Oklahoma. Then it's hog producer Phil Borgic from Illinois. Directly following the news, Greg Henderson from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Glory.
All right, Davis. Hey, buddy. Thank you so much. The weather's coming back in.
Sure seems like it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Have you got snow in the forecast down there in the tropics?
I'm not sure if we do or not. We've got some sort of precipitation. I don't know if they quite know yet what to call it. Okay. But we're 28 degrees and sunny.
28 and sunny. We are six.
Okay.
Six and overcast with snow on the way this afternoon. Well, another 1 to 3 inches.
1 to 3?
Yeah.
Well, who ordered that?
I didn't. Wasn't me.
Hmm.
I don't think it was anybody that's had to go out and move snow over the last 10 days or so. Yeah. I think they're kind of looking for a break. Welcome to AgriTalk. I am Chip. That is Davis. And, livestock producers, take note. We've got a couple of issues that we are going to be talking about today. Representative Frank Lucas, former chairman of the House Ag Committee, current member of the House Ag Committee, is going to give us his thoughts on the idea of importing fresh chilled beef from Paraguay and what kind of risks that opens up for the U.S. cattle industry. And it's not just the cattle industry. He explains very, very well in this conversation just how deep the risk runs to agriculture and those who are serving the farm community out there. And then Prop 12, it's fully implemented now, Davis, and you and I have been kind of scratching around this issue of what exact impact is it having on hog producers. And we're going to talk with a hog producer from Raymond, Illinois, Phil Borgic, get his take on what is going on out there. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Tip, the National Weather Service expects heavy mountain snows for the Northwest and the Rockies, additional ice over the Columbia Basin. Bands of heavy lake effect snow continue for the Great Lakes with hazardous snow across the Midwest and Mid-Atlantic by Friday. Another Arctic blast expected late this week, Chip.
Cold
week is coming up fast, bro. It's Thursday.
Cold temperatures are just a couple of days away again. Not like it's balmy out there, but boy, you look at that extended forecast. We've got some warmer temperatures coming in.
We'll get there. Yep. Well, Representative G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania reportedly wants to fast-track the Farm Bill for 2024 passage. In an interview with Bloomberg, the House Ag Chairman revealed he intends to advance the Farm Bill through his Ag Committee before March. He mentioned that in about 3 weeks, they will begin with a chairman's mark to unveil the bill with the goal of completing committee action by March. The timeline depends on securing floor time from House Speaker Mike Johnson,
suggesting the bill's progress will be contingent on House leadership's support and scheduling, Chip.
If everything goes as planned, we will have a conversation with Representative Thompson for you tomorrow morning during the free-for-all here on AgriTalk.
Well, the Senate will begin voting on a continuing resolution to fund the federal government through early March at 12:30 Eastern Time this morning. There will be several votes, including amendments that will be rejected. The short-term spending measure is expected to clear the Senate and will then be sent to the House, where it faces GOP conservative opposition, but widespread support among Democrats. OPEC says it expects global oil demand to remain robust in 2024 and 2025 due to a strong global growth forecast and slowing inflation. Oil prices ticked up on that news. Now, Chip, in contrast with OPEC's forecast, the International Energy Agency, the IEA, said that growth in oil demand will cut in half in 2024 because of China's slow economic recovery and greater take-up of electric vehicles. We're getting two different messages here, buddy.
Two very different messages. And to imagine that oil demand will be cut in half this year is awfully difficult to imagine.
Yep, indeed. Well, the U.S. has launched more strikes on Yemen's Houthis overnight, citing an imminent threat to merchant vessels and U.S. Navy ships in the Red Sea area. Just hours later, Pakistan launched retaliatory missiles against the militants in Iran in the latest incident to roil the wider region. The attacks have had consequences for the global economy as they've effectively closed off the Red Sea. And Chip, as an example, according to Bloomberg here, I've got a story about a livestock carrier that left Australia for the Middle East. It appears to have been diverted toward Africa. This is our first indication that ships loaded with animals could face longer journeys due to that escalating conflict in the Red Sea area.
Holy smokes, they got to get this figured out and get the Houthis under control there.
Yep. Well, Ukraine's ambassador to Turkey said negotiations are underway regarding a UN-brokered Black Sea grain export initiative. The last one ended last summer. And finally, Chip, China has approved additional varieties of genetically modified soybeans and corn for import and production while expanding their planting areas nationwide. The planting zones for most of the varieties were expanded from ecologically suitable areas to the entire country, Chip.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you need the crop, isn't it, Davis? All right, thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Greg, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Chip. Very well, thank you.
All right. We've got a cattle on feed report coming on Friday. What are you watching for?
Yes, we do, and it looks like, according to the analyst estimates, that the cattle on feed number will be up again. You'll remember, Chip, that we had 12 million cattle on feed in that December report, and that's historically high number. Now, we all expect 2024 to be a good year for cattle markets, but Mother Nature is sure throwing a curveball, and obstacles such as this snow and cold. And the impact on beef supplies has pushed that beef cutout higher the past 2 weeks, but that hasn't done much for the live price. Now, one thing to keep in mind about these cattle that are, you know, being, I don't want to say backed up, but certainly they're going to have to feed them longer and so forth. But remember that those feeder cattle that were bought in September were bought at the highest price, and those cattle are still on feed. So now we're feeding those cattle longer, extra feed, trying to keep them, get them to market. We're looking at losses on those cattle that could be extreme. And another factor, Chip, that feed yards are looking at possibly a slower turnover rate, and that's evidenced in the marketing since last June, which were down modestly a little bit. But it looks like that we're feeding cattle at heavier weights. 940 pounds was what it was for carcass weight last month, and that was a record. So we're looking at a good year, but we've got to get through this first quarter here. And to get to warmer weather and better beef demand.
No question about it. And right now it almost feels like a false signal with this with the high number of cattle on feed, but like you said, we just need to work through it. Good stuff, Greg. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, the cattle on feed report coming our way very soon, Friday, and tomorrow. We need to get prepared for that. Okay. Beef imports from Paraguay, beef imports in general, is it a protectionist issue or is it an animal health issue? We're going to be talking with Representative Frank Lucas about just that issue next here on AgriTalk.
There I was, driving along, when I saw the corn laying down in the field, goosenecked again. Even though I tried everything, new traits, existing soil insecticides, every corn grower knows the hassle of gooseneck corn. But now there's Narisma Insecticide from BASF, a better, stronger in-furrow insecticide that controls corn rootworm and below-ground pests. Stand up for your corn with Narisma Insecticide. Ask your authorized BASF retailer about Narisma. And always read and follow label directions.
Space, the final frontier, where we are limited only by our imagination. Join us in Houston for Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational event. New Frontiers in Agriculture. February 28th through March 2nd, 2024. Houston, we have no problem. Discover more at CommodityClassic.com.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
What kind of radio program do you usually have here?
Oh, we got both kinds, Agra and Talk.
Move them on, hit them up, move them on, rawhide, cut them out, ride them in.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us for a special conversation with Representative Frank Lucas from the 3rd District of Oklahoma. Congressman, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you today?
I am just fine and happy to be with you. D.C. is a crazy place, and there's lots of things going on and a tremendous amount of stuff that affects all of us back home in the real world.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Congratulations on your selection for American Farm Bureau's 2024 Distinguished Service Award. That's well deserved.
Oh, I very much appreciate my friends in the National Farm Bureau and my friends in the Oklahoma Farm Bureau for nominating me for that. It's, you know, when you work as long as I've worked on the Ag Committee, and I'm an Aggie by trade. Linda and I are cow-calf and wheat people in western Oklahoma. My university degrees in agricultural economics. Something like this, where I've gone through the number of farm bills, both as chairman and subcommittee chairman, and worked on all these issues, it's really nice when what you kind of consider to be extended family acknowledges that you've worked really hard on their behalf. And I'm just very appreciative, because this is a world where, you know, for every compliment anymore, it seems like you get 27 criticisms. So I really appreciate the comments and the award from my good friends, my fellow Farm Bureau members.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, The beef industry has expressed a high level of concern about USDA's decision to allow the import of beef from Paraguay. It's obviously caught your attention. What is the status? Does USDA still plan to move forward with the imports of beef from Paraguay?
Yes. My understanding is that the rule last month that USDA sent into effect, which allows the importation of fresh Paraguayan beef, is in place. I and a number of my colleagues, past two dozen of us, have written the secretary several weeks ago saying, why are you doing this? You need to stop the process. You need to explain to us what you went through to make this decision. There are some concerns from members of Congress, including myself, that maybe the information that USDA used to promulgate this rule might actually be a decade old. And we'd like to be assured that someone was on the ground in the country to determine the real conditions. Now, I'm supportive of open trade, fair trade, call it whatever you want to call it. I'm supportive of everyone around the world having access to high-quality animal protein. But in this case, you're talking about a country that has had issues with foot-and-mouth disease.
Right.
And in the United States, we have not had a case, thanks to the good work of state departments of agriculture and USDA, we've not had a case since 1929, almost a century ago. No one, basically in the industry right now, has seen a case of it in the United States. But the reason we've avoided that is because how hard we worked. Now, some folks will say, is it really that bad? Foot and mouth, or as my grandfather's generation referred to it as hoof and mouth, because of the nature of the livestock it affected, can be transmitted not just from animal to animal, but the virus can float through the air. It is super contagious.
Yes.
And I've participated in exercises, or we've talked about on the national level, if you had an outbreak, how would you stop the outbreak, especially in connection with political or military issues where it might be an intentional outbreak to try and cause chaos in the United States. And basically the procedure is, if there is ever another case of foot and mouth discovered in the United States, you start a vaccination regime at ground zero and you vaccinate out. But just as you vaccinate out, you put down the animals that are vaccinated or unvaccinated because you've got to kill the host that potentially will spread this, and it works out. And a big part of that, Chip, is these massive quarantine plans where you literally would lock a state down at a time. Think about in the just-in-time, super-efficient food industry of the United States, especially in the beef industry. My wife sends that 500-600-pound calf off of the mama in the – we're spring calvers – in the fall to wheat pasture somewhere, western Kansas, central Oklahoma. You put another 300 pounds, whatever, on the calf. Then he gets back on a truck and he goes to a feedlot somewhere in Oklahoma, Texas, or Kansas. Then after you put another 300-400 pounds on him, he winds up in a packing plant, which might be in Texas, it might be in Oklahoma, it might be in a variety of places.
Right.
But the point is, you're moving live animals around several times across state lines to achieve the efficiency we have now. Think about what it would take to lock down the state of Oklahoma or the Texas Panhandle or western Kansas or the state of Colorado.
The disruption that it would cause.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And as we learned in those exercises, there are a lot of cattle producers like my wife and myself whose bloodlines go back a long ways. On our farm, the original herd is from 1929. Ironically, the same 1929 is the last case of foot and mouth in the United States.
Yeah.
When you go in to start destroying the animals to prevent the spread of disease, I'm not sure how a rancher is going to react when you're telling him that maybe 100 or 150-year line of cattle has to be destroyed immediately.
Right.
The psychological. If you think people care about their dogs and cats, think about the prize beef bulls and brood cows that have taken generations and for genetic perfection to be achieved. So the point is, this would totally disrupt the economy in the United States, because when you're quarantining every beef animal in, let's say, the state of Oklahoma, you're also quarantining everybody going down I-40 or I-35. You're quarantining every oil and gas truck servicing wells. You're quarantining every business. the magnitude of that's incredible. So I only repeat this to say that having gone through these models where you talk about how to fight the problem, you got to keep it out of the country. You can't let it get here and start with.
So it's a complicated issue. There's no question about that, because trade issues are always a complicated issue. How is this going to wrap up? What's going to be the end result? Is there going to be beef imports from Paraguay?
If the department doesn't withdraw the rule, expect a bipartisan, bicameral, that means Republican, Democrat, House, and Senate effort to overturn the rule. Now, we're not quite to that point. I prefer to give the secretary and the department heads and USDA in general a chance to respond. But this is too serious just to say you shouldn't do it and look the other way.
Right.
The integrity of the cattle, basically the animal protein chain, is at stake here. Yeah. We'll do what we have to do, like the 24-plus members in the House who signed the initial letter, which I was a part of, to get the secretary's attention. We mean business, and it's not just R&D. It's not just Oklahoma or Texas or Kansas or Colorado or Nebraska. Yeah. We all understand how critical this issue is. And if you apply sound science, if you determine there are no problems, if you determine the inspection process down there is sufficient, well, then we'll reassess the situation. But you got to prove to us they're clean before you start really bringing live product in. We've imported beef from South America for decades and decades, but it's been cooked and canned. Think about corn beef, cooked and canned. There's no way a virus can survive that process. But this is different, live product.
Exactly. Only got a couple of minutes left here, Congressman. I feel like we need to go on to the Farm Bill. You've been a member of the Ag Committee since 1994. Your name was on the 2014 Farm Bill. What's the status of the current bill? What do you think the timeline looks like?
We need to get the appropriations process, the government funding, sorted out. And that's an issue that's at a full boil this week. Because if we don't fund the federal government through the end of September, there's not enough political oxygen here to do a variety of other things, including the Farm Bill. So we fund the government. That then tells us how much money we have to spend on the Farm Bill. Chairman Thompson's ready to go with a markup, but we probably, by my estimate, we might need between $70 and $100 billion in order to strengthen the safety net. Think about how much costs have gone up for producers. Think about inflation's reduction of buying power on the money that we get when we sell our livestock. We need to know how much money we've got, and then we can write a farm bill. Chairman Thompson's ready to go, but we need the overall federal funding taken care of, and we need to know what's available to us to write a new farm bill.
So is it Title I that is where the greatest focus is on the funding needs?
Absolutely. I mean, let's be honest. The key elements to conservation, research, farm credit, rural development are critically important. The real core of the Farm Bill is raising, producing food and fiber, and that's crop insurance, and that's price protection insurance products. Those are things that, while we pay a premium for the product, the federal government helps subsidize it, so we'll buy it, so it enables us to stay in business, so we'll have a steady supply. And the cost of everything has gone up, and the real buying power has gone down. You got to put some extra money in there. You got to make some tweaks if you're going to have a safety net that works. And if you don't have a safety net that works, your banker, your landlord, and your spouse are going to lay it on you pretty heavy.
Yes. Representative Lucas, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for making time for us.
And I suspect we'll visit again several times before we finish up the Farm Bill process.
I hope we will. Thank you so much. That is Representative Frank Lucas, 3rd District of Oklahoma. We're talking Prop 12 next here on AgriTalk.
Get a strong start to your sorghum season with Double Team Sorghum. The Double Team Sorghum cropping solution provides superior post-emergent grass control, giving you clean sorghum fields, reliable yields, and improved profitability. Double Team is powered by the proprietary DT trait and uniquely formulated First Act herbicide for a completely integrated and flexible solution for grass control in sorghum. Visit DoubleTeamSorghum.com to learn how to get cleaner fields and bigger yields.
When you're planting, having the right scale system on your bulk fill planter or drill pays for itself. Use Point from ScaleTech to verify proper seeding rates and make money-saving adjustments on the fly. Not to mention monitor your seed supply with pinpoint accuracy. You could guess, but why? Instead of checking your hoppers manually, keep your tractor moving and let Point do the work. Save time and money with Point. Visit ScaleTech.com.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel, and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. February milk down 6 to 15.65. March down 9 to 16.05. April down 10 to 16.80. May up 3 at 17.53. Live and feeder cattle markets moving up mostly higher on the day. The trade is starting to adjust positions ahead of Friday's cattle on feed report. That is adding some additional volatility to the market in both the front of and after the report. And there's also been some strength in the cash markets. Hog markets, meanwhile, they continue to move mostly lower. A little bit of recovery in a few contracts on some short covering, but price resistance levels have been met earlier in the week, and that's led to some additional selling and long liquidation. February live cattle up $1.55 to $174.65. January feeder cattle up $2.50 to $230.92. February hogs down 27 cents to $71.17. Corn markets are moving up mostly mixed today, trying to follow soybeans a bit higher, but the soft demand is and logistics issues with poor weather is helping to affect ethanol margins, and that is also helping to pressure corn. Soybeans again moving mostly higher now after being lower for most of the session. Short covering kicking in. Export demand still remains soft. Wheat markets, though, they're still moving slightly higher. New crop corn back to steady now at 475. New crop beans still up 1.25 to 1190 and a quarter. March wheat up 2.75. Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I don't know what you're thinking.
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, Chip.
Hey, Davis.
Do you think it's possible Liv Tyler is listening today?
It could be. I mean, it's entirely possible.
I was O'Neidering that just then.
There's a lot of things that we O'Neider here on AgriTalk, isn't there?
That's what we do. That's what we do.
Yes.
We O'Neider so other people don't have to.
Don't have to. We answer those O'Neiderings.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's get to this conversation with Phil Borjik. He is a hog producer from Raymond, Illinois. Phil, it's been too long since we've had the conversation, but it's sure good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great. We survived the cold weather and with just a few minor difficulties.
Yeah, good. Good. Yeah. It got plenty cold for you over there in central Illinois, didn't it?
Well, I told the young people around me, I said, no matter what Grandpa tells you, it doesn't get any colder than that.
There you go. There you go. Phil, I appreciate the work that you and Daryl Stitzel from Shannon, Jeff Bolamy from Carlinville, the work that you guys did in sounding off on Prop 12. You've been vocal about the potential consequences of Prop 12 for quite some time. But why now? What triggered this op-ed in the Pantograph newspaper there in Bloomington?
Well, we're hoping to get some resolution and some laws coming through Congress to help the situation for pork producers today with Prop 12, but really to set the groundwork for the future that we don't continue to have these obstacles coming towards our industry for good production from another state or California changing something tomorrow. As we just need to build a long-term program on what makes sense for agriculture and what makes sense for our animals.
Yeah. You know, and Prop 12 is the most visual. We see it. We talk about it. It's in effect. It's having an effect on markets across the country right now. So we tend to focus on that. But we've got question three out of Massachusetts. And the last I saw, Phil, there it's double digit, the number of states that are considering similar rules, regs, propositions. And if we've got to all of a sudden feed into 8, 9, 10 very specific market demands, it becomes impossible to fill that demand, doesn't it?
And possible to fill the demand, but really it becomes impossible to plan ahead. All these changes takes time, takes capital, takes research, and if they continue to move the goalpost, how can any industry move quick enough to satisfy those, you know, the new laws that you know is coming before us?
Right. So the bottom line here, Phil, is if California wants an adequate supply of pork, the incentives need to come in the form of higher prices for those hogs that are farrowed in compliant barns. Are you seeing that? Is California providing the incentive? I shouldn't say it that way. Is the cash market providing the incentive to start producing compliant hogs that are compliant for the California market?
So the answer to the question is some.
Okay.
So this has only been in full effect since January 1.
Right.
My understanding is that the data being collected is the price of pork in California is higher than elsewhere. Well, there's a lot of things that drives that price of that pork. So how much of that is actually getting back to the farmer level? We do have a segment of our industry that has built buildings, modified buildings that would meet those qualifications. And the ones I'm familiar with, we're able to get some compensation to do that. But if we continue to make changes, then making programs that our industry could adapt for is not going to be economically viable.
Right.
Because it's not black and white, nothing's black and white with this. And then the having the research or having the audit capabilities of making sure the right product is getting to California is not in place today.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I keep thinking about how complicated and complex this might eventually become, Phil. And I'm not saying that it can't be done. But to have a split cash market, a compliant versus a non-compliant cash market, that just doesn't seem workable to me. What about you?
Well, the basis of what we're being asked to do is the real concern. You know, my dad was part of the generation that took us from outside non-environmentally controlled facilities into what we have today. That keeps them warm in the winter and cooler in the summer. Yeah. And so educating the non-producer on the things that we do every day and what's good for the animal versus, you know, the Prop 12s, the question threes that come along that that don't even look at what the animal needs. And as producers, I mean, that's the one thing that drives us every day, is doing what's best for the animal. So the marketing side is just the end result of that care. And that really, you know, needs to be the focus, is what's good for the pig and those producers that are raising it.
Yeah.
Today, if this was the only thing that we segregated for, would be one thing. But we're asking our packers today to segregate for all kinds of different specifications. And then if we start adding multiple state requirements on top of that, then that dramatically increases the cost at the packer level besides the farm gate level.
Yep. Have you made any adjustments to feral some California compliant pigs?
We have not. We are researching it. We're gathering information. We're looking at cost. At this point in time, the two packers that I sell to don't have the demand that they say, okay, Phil, you need to go do this. I am looking for direction from them to give me guidelines of where I need to go. I mean, they're not going to tell me exactly what I need to do.
Right.
But is there a market? They, at this point in time, you know, they say there's not a market for that. And we can't even give you guidelines what we want to see you do long term.
Right. Okay. What do you want to see happen here, Phil?
I remember my civics class many, many years ago. In that class, I really thought it was pretty cut and dry that one state can't tell another state how to run their business. And so that was the basic argument that we tried to make to the Supreme Court and failed. And so what I want to see is stability and some certainty. We have so much uncertainty in our industry, and then having this additional uncertainty out there. And so that if we're going to have a program, it needs to be across multiple states and maybe across the nation, so that all pork producers know what, you know, the direction we need to go and where the investment needs to be made.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. How much of a risk or a threat is Prop 12 and other initiatives like Prop 12 to hog production in the middle of the country?
So my understanding is California represents between 15% and 18% of the fresh pork market, domestic pork market for the United States. So it's a major market. And we don't want to lose that. You know, the industry's been going, you know, through a 18 months process here, as what looks like it's going to be total, of losing approximately $30 a head. And so we need every market we can get, you know, for our pork moving into the future. So it's a major threat logistically and product demand side.
Yeah. Phil, you know how I am. I'm wired to the markets and the ultimate impact that this might have on the markets. And we've seen this before. If it does start out as a premium product, and there's a premium price attached to the compliant pork, it then becomes the expected product. And instead of having a market with a premium structure, it turns into a market with a discount structure. And I don't think any of us want to see that develop, with especially the way that this industry is generating revenue right now.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because if we get if I could go tomorrow and get a contract with a packer for XYZ that makes it feasible to start adapting over to Prop 12, those contracts have got, you know, a length of time that if there's a premium today, there won't be, you know, it'll be commodity tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so we have to look at that when we make those decisions to adapt our buildings.
Yep.
For the most part, to go from present, even open pen gestation to Prop 12, you're going to lose about 20% of either your sow herd or need to build 20% additional buildings.
Yeah.
And so that is a, you know, a 20-year commitment.
It's a major ask.
Major ask. Yes.
Yep, no doubt about it. Phil, thank you for sharing your perspective on this, man. We really appreciate you.
All right, everybody have a great day.
You bet. Phil Borjek, hog producer over in Raymond, Illinois. Davis and I will be right back to wrap up this morning's AgriTalk.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, I'm just off on the potty. Let's just muscle, roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. Our crib is always stocked.
It's our potty wine.
She's
crushing
everything, so our cheeks feel fly.
So worth it.
Everybody wanna touch the sky.
Charmin Ultrasoft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Paid by Up-Level Rewards. Paid participation required. Act your portrayal.
Hey, where did you get all that cash?
You mean this $750?
Yes, that $750. Where did you get all that cash?
Since it's January, I went to JanuaryCash2024.com and got $750.
You got $750?
Yes. Just go to JanuaryCash2024.com this month and follow the simple instructions on the site. Once you finish, the $750 is yours.
It's that easy to get $750?
It is, but only in January. You just answer the basic questions on the site, complete the deals they show you, and get $750 sent to your Venmo or PayPal.
I'm always short on cash. I'm going to JanuaryCash2024.com right now to get my $750.
Ready to get your $750? Get started right now at JanuaryCash2024.com. Remember, this offer is only valid in January, so go to JanuaryCash2024.com. Just go to JanuaryCash2024.com. Follow the simple instructions and get your $750. Go to JanuaryCash2024.com. That's JanuaryCash2024.com. Don't wait, it's this month only. Go to JanuaryCash2024.com. JanuyoryCash2024.com. JanuaryCash2024.com.
Matt Clark is the digital technology manager for Ceres Solutions. That's where he uses the services of Taranis. Matt, tell us about some of the challenges your team and customers face year after year and how Taranis positions your team to meet those challenges to better serve your customers.
Yeah, thanks, Chip. The biggest thing we see today is just it's a year-round sales process anymore. You know, what we're seeing is they're having trouble just staying on top of everything going on. So what Taranis allows us to do is do a better job prioritizing that scouting in season and kind of brings to our attention issues that we're seeing in the field. And then it's also kind of that good report card there at the end of the year to actually remember what we did that last growing season and things we saw to build a better plan for the next growing season.
Okay, so your involvement with Taranis, how does it change the way that you position your team to serve customers?
Yeah, I think it gives us time that they can actually spend with that customer, where in the past they may spend a lot of time by themselves scouting the customer's field and then giving that report back. This allows them to prioritize that time that's so precious to them and make sure that they're hitting the problem spots in those fields that they need to and bringing that to their attention so that then they can have more time to have that conversation with the grower and make, you know, more valuable recommendations to that grower at the end of the day.
Gotcha. So how does Taranis differentiate Ceres as a co-op within your territory? I mean, are you providing what others can't?
Yeah, right now we think we're kind of on the leading edge of that. You know, we're able to see back into the back corner of the field that, you know, we probably never scouted before, to be honest. Yeah. So it just gives us a full picture of that field. And, you know, we're able to make recommendations with more confidence to our customers.
Outstanding, Matt. Thank you so much. That is Matt Clark, Digital Technology Manager at Ceres Solutions. To learn more about Taranis and to see how Acre Forward Intelligence can help you build a winning playbook for the 2024 season, visit GetYourGameTape.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture is what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Oh! Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Chip Flory.
Yep.
Let's start with Representative Frank Lucas. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Glad you're listening. Big show today, Chip.
Yeah.
Lots of important things discussed there. You and I, you know what? No, I'm not going to roll you into this. I will say for myself.
Okay.
Dang, it's been frustrating watching this appropriations bill, the continuing resolution, the government. There's no funding for the government. What are we going to do? It's irritating. It's annoying. It's frustrating. Nothing seems to be happening. Trouble is, we need something to happen really bad, buddy.
Yeah.
Representative Lucas was talking about we need these appropriations first so we can figure out what we have to spend, what we have to allocate in this farm bill here, dude.
Right.
So we do have to stay on top of it, and this is why.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question about the fact that something needs to be accomplished, and it needs to be done sooner rather than later. And I'm not going to sit here and say, just pass these appropriation bills and let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be done. It needs to be done with full consideration of some of the spending cuts that some in the GOP are looking for. And if you're gonna consider those spending cuts, you've also got to look at some of the requests for increased spending that are coming from maybe the moderates in the GOP and the Democrats, or the left in on the Democrat side. You got to look at it all. You got to find a middle ground, and you got to find a way to move forward. I didn't hear a whole lot of optimism from Representative Lucas that's going to happen, mm-hmm. Davis. So yeah. The alternative is you shut down. So for how long and what services?
Mm-hmm.
And we've gone through shutdowns before. Sure. We know that we can survive it. We also know that the resulting benefits are often very disappointing to those that were most for shutting the government down.
Yep, that's right.
So with that in mind, let's negotiate. Let's find some middle ground and move forward. Davis, this thing just, the whole thing makes me feel like we're going to end up with Speaker Johnson right in the same place that Speaker McCarthy was.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel like there's going to be a motion to vacate the speakership. And I don't know if it's going to pass. The indications are that it would be much more difficult to push through than it was with Speaker McCarthy, because what the heck? You know, when you're making history, let's go ahead and make history. Mm-hmm. Let's vacate him. But to do it again,
yeah,
would seem to be piling on. So I don't even know if there's going to be the motion to vacate.
Well, dude, that's how we got here, is dinking around with first choosing a speaker and then ousting a speaker and then choosing a new speaker. Now we're gonna fart around with getting rid of another one and then finding a different one, and then then everything will be okay. We won't have any more disagreements. Life will be perfect, and we can appropriate appropriately. Is this what we're to believe?
See, when you've got segments or groups within a party that use the word never, when it becomes an issue. Right. I will never support that guy for the speaker. I will never support an appropriations bill that does not include X percent of spending cuts. I will never. I will never. When you start hearing those "I will never" people, you might as well just go on to somebody else that is serious about negotiating and finding that middle ground.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I am not. Please don't think I'm diminishing what those that are looking for the spending cuts are hoping for the results that they are hoping for. I hope we can figure out a way to cut spending. Mm-hmm. I hope we can figure out a way to balance this budget. I hope we can figure out a way to eventually, somehow, some way, someday, take a bite out of the debt. But it seems like a really tough path to find right now, Davis.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me of what Phil Borjick was talking about, a hog farmer from Illinois, moving the goalposts, man. Just moving the goalposts. And it makes it so difficult to get anything done, whether it's progress on appropriations bills or if it's a hog farmer trying to figure out, what do I even need to do to comply? You know what I mean?
And the area that we did not get to with Phil that, I was kind of hesitant to go there, I guess. But we cannot forget that the whole Prop 12 issue was started by the anti-animal agriculture activists.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about ending hog production. It's not about making that sow comfortable with 24 square foot.
Right.
That's not what they want. They would much rather see that hog dead and out of production. Mm-hmm. Because they just want to end animal agriculture. And taking the approach that there's interstate commerce issues that need to be considered here, I think is very prudent, but we're not dealing with prudent people.
Took us all the way back to his high school civics class.
Yeah.
You know, if only the world were like the world expressed in our high school civics classes, wouldn't it be great?
Yes. It would be simpler, that is for sure. Mm-hmm. There would be a whole lot fewer shades of gray.
There you go.
Wouldn't there?
Yep.
Holy smokes. Good stuff, Davis. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Craig Van Dyke from Co-Alliance Cooperative. And tomorrow morning, it's Friday already, buddy.
Woo-hoo!
We got the free-for-all coming your way right here on AgriTalk.
Nothing I need and nothing that I don't.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold herbicide for corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Trifold, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Trifold worked. See for yourself at TrifoldInAction.com. Trifold is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Text
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
Well, it's a patented key ingredient called Testofen. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth.